Okay, welcome back to the meeting. Everyone. Welcome to the members of the public, if you want to press your sign. Can I ask everybody to have their phones on silent, please? Is there anyone in the public who wishes to ask a question of council that's not related to a planning item? You'll have 3 minutes to speak and you can ask 2 questions.
Yes.
We just go and say your name and address and go for it.
Tim Sharp, 5 Blackwell Drive, Perth. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I was advised this was the best theatre to do this. I'd like to take this opportunity to request of council the opportunity to actually converse with council in a workshop where possible, to speak in an environment that could be a bit more open, frank, and open to Q&A in regard to scrap tyre storage and disposal. So that's all I would like to ask of you this evening, that be minuted and given full.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who wishes to ask a question or make a statement that's not related to a planning item?
We're here regarding the kennel license.
Yes, that's right, yes.
Circumstance?
Yes. Yeah. We each have 3 minutes if you wish to both speak.
Hi, my name's Lisa Bartlett and I'm from 49 Street in Perth. I'm the applicant for the kennel license at 310 Mill Road, Perth. I also currently have a dog breeding facility and kennel license in the Northern Midlands, and I've come before the council with the same application previously. I was grateful to have been granted my license on this occasion, and I'm under similar circumstances. I was required to outline the specifics of circumstances and to provide response representation made at the time. Whilst I acknowledge that this is a completely different application, I think it's important to outline that I currently have a license in the general residential area to keep 8 dogs currently, and that permits me to have 1 litter of puppies at any given time. There was a few objections which I'd like to just go through. So all my dogs are housed inside of an evening and separated in their own crates. They have been trained and conditioned to this since birth. Currently I have had my license for 12 months in a dense residential area on Phillips Street. I have not had any complaints made regarding noise issues and currently have very close neighbours under 5 metres. I chose to make Mill Road my home because the site is already somewhat noisy with multiple trains passing within metres of the boundaries of mine and my neighbour's properties. If it were to be required, I would prepare to utilise bark collars as I have at the time in my current property. I have also discussed this matter with the immediate neighbours who expressed some concerns, and they express gratitude that I'm responsible and a proactive dog owner. In terms of the fencing and the shelter, I would be having constructed a dog yard which would contain my dogs, and the yard would be fully fenced. And then the wildlife objection, so Labradors are a particularly placid breed and they're more of a companion dog. They are not wanting to chase wildlife or have any strong hunting instincts. And then the waterways was the animal waste would be collected and disposed off site, and as I currently do at my current property, their enclosure will have grass included, and they have been conditioned to urinate, which will be prevented of. Will prevent runoff to the waterway.
Thanks, Lucy. You've got 3 minutes now.
Yeah.
Does anyone else wish to make a statement or ask a question not related to planning items?
I'd be happy just to volunteer. My name is Thomas Baird. I am from 25 of the neighbourhood in the city, but I'm really just here in support of Lisa. And just here to reiterate that she's a responsible dog owner, and she's pleased and grateful to be here with you today to discuss her application, but more than that, she's a really responsible person, and I hope that you guys are able to consider her. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else in the public who wishes to make a statement or ask a question that's not related to planning? Okay, so we're moving to planning now. We need a mover and second. Councillor Dean and Councillor Goss. So we're moving to planning. All those in favour? Against? Oh, carried. I beg your pardon. I forgot to say that we have a question on notice from a Raymond Norman, which we will hopefully okay for us to refer it to the Taylor Rescue Management Team, so that they can prepare a reply and get back to council. So then we can reply to Mr. Norman. Do we need to move that?
So we need to know what the question is.
It's about the economic crisis on the Tamar East catchment area.
It came through.
Yes.
About the catchment.
Yes.
And having the. Need some detail.
Planning 1, is there anybody in the public who wishes to ask a question about Planning 1? Or provide a statement about Planning 1? That's 7 Wellington Street, Longford. No? Okay, Planning 2 is 26 to 28 Charles Street and 14 Salisbury Road, Cressy. Who wishes to speak?
Yes.
State your name and address, and you've got 3 minutes.
Good evening, councillors, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Peter Crossgrove with 28A Logan Road, Edendale, and I'm here as the project manager for the developer. This is pretty much a straightforward application. What I came for tonight was to speak to, there is one representation that was received. The representation was short, sharp, and to the point. It was only 3 or 4 lines, but most of the items that were raised in that representation related to items that aren't even on the application. They relate to the future potential use of the property and future potential traffic flow of the property. So in light of the fact that we don't have any proposal on the table for any form of development on that site, it is a straightforward subdivision application. I would like you to consider disregarding that representation and urge you to favourably consider the application. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak on Planning 2, 26 to 28 Charles Street and 14 Salisbury Road, Cressy? Okay, Planning 3, is there anyone who wishes to speak or make a statement on 26 to 28 Charles Street, Cressy, change of use to a communal residence? Yes?
Good evening, everybody. My name is Shani Hall and I'm actually from the North West Coast. River Road Ambleside. I'm here tonight to represent Mint's employment as potential occupier of a resident who's seasonal workers. Now, I believe that there have been concerns around transport and the noise of buses in the community area. We are committed to work with the community and work with council to allay any concerns regarding transport or ancillary noise from the residents that may be generated by a number of seasonal workers and the transport ingress and egress from the property. We are looking to utilise public transport stops that are already in place, so not to impact the local residents and the neighbours in terms of noise. So that would be in conjunction with the local public transport to make sure that we're not impacting them adversely either by utilising the current stops as they stand.
Thank you.
Gave me off, me again. Same property. a similar thing, as you're all aware, this one has generated a fair amount of public representation. I've had redacted copies of most of those, and most of those representations pretty much seem to be of a pro forma nature, and I understand that a certain party went door knocking around the area to try and garner support for objections on this. Be that as it is, the objections have been received, and a lot of the content of those objections seem to be around housing density and, as Shani has said, about transport. In terms of density, there doesn't seem to be any straightforward, simple reference to density of use in this type of setting in the planning scheme. And as is often the case, we usually refer to other parallel legislations like the BCA and the National Construction Code to tell us what sort of density can be relied on in certain applications. So I've written a subsequent letter that I believe you've all got a copy of, and where we would be prepared to go with this in an effort to try and get some resolution to this is we would definitely consider some compromises in the area of installing fire alarms and smoke detectors, similar to a Class 3 building. And I can take a little bit of extra time if you like to describe the difference with those, but it is a significant safety measure. We would reduce the application to an amount less than the 20 applied for, would be agreeable to something like that. And as Shane has said, we would also implement measures to minimise the traffic flow and noise impacts by the neighbouring properties, which seem to be a major concern. So we'd be happy to compromise on a successful DA, even if that had to be conditioned on the DA, if those items were conditioned. Anybody wants any clarification on those smoke detectors or anything like that to fill in?
Councillors,
want to
ask any questions?
I'm going to ask a question. Just about, you said about reducing the number of people. You didn't put a figure on that, did you?
I didn't put a figure on it, no, but the NCC, National Construction Code, and the BCA, the Building Code of Australia, they refer to a density in Class 1B buildings of 12. We applied for 20 because there is a parallel legislation under Commonwealth legislation, which only applies, that says you can only have a density of 10 people per one bathroom. And this building will have three bathrooms. So we decided to up it to 20 people. This dwelling, as it stands at the moment, will be 6 bedrooms, 2 living rooms, 3 bathrooms. So it is a substantial place. That's why we bought it for this use. So we just thought we'll go with 2 full-size bathrooms and 1 suite. So 2 full bathrooms is 20 people. Even though a Class 1A and 1B building limits us to 12, we didn't go down the step of trying to apply for a Class 3 building, which is a boarding house or whatever, because there's a whole other raft of requirements that are required in that, which we didn't think would fit within the community anyway. So that's why we applied to go from Class 1A to Class 1B. So if we end up at 12, then we end up at 12.
Thank you.
I just got a question. My question is about what standards do we expect for workers? I mean, I've contacted the Australian Workers Union, and for a shearer, it's one person per room. We recently got rolled on an issue up here where there's going to be 7 per room, and you know, here you're going to have 2 and 3, as I understand it, at least in some of the rooms. I just take the view that we should not, and that we should have a situation where at least, hopefully, in the not too distant future, the federal government will come up with a new policy where we apply the same working conditions for the workers in Australia as we expect, and our workers expect. We have a situation where multiple people, male and female in many cases, in the same building, 2 and 3 to a room, and in one case, just recently, 7 to a room, and I just think that people in the industry and contractors who are bringing these workers in ought to be looking at this, because it is going to become, in my view, it will become a major issue. I think it just lowers the standards that we would expect for our own workforce. So I just wonder that this should be taken into consideration.
Councillor Hall.
there definitely should be, and it would be good if we had some definitive guidelines to work to. So, you know, I don't know, but that's what I'm saying. There are vague guidelines and perhaps...
I could probably address that if you like. Yeah. So the legislation which we abide by is governed by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. So that government department administers our program, which is the Pacific Australia Labour Mobility Scheme. And they set the accommodation guidelines. So as it was alluded to before, it's 10 people to one bathroom. Now, as a contractor, we look at what we live in wholeheartedly. If I wouldn't sleep there, I wouldn't expect my workers to sleep there. So we have very high standards over and above what DFAT actually put in place to accommodate our workers. Being inside this property, and it's an amazing property, gold class in terms of the other properties that we have, we tend to split males and females. We do not. We try not to have them in the same property because it causes issues. And if we do have males and females in the same property, we try and stick to married couples. So, in summary, we abide by the DFAT legislation as administered under the program. However, as a contractor, we actually go above and beyond.
Yeah, I just think they should change.
DFAT had already just taken over the program. It was administered by DESI. So this program is actually a new program. It's brought in by the 4th of April. So what Labor will do is what Labor will do with the program. But, yeah, that's where that fits.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who wishes to say anything about it? Yes?
Yes, ma'am. Jason Cox, 7 Murphy Street, Cressy. I've been asked to make representation to council regarding development application in 26 Charles Street and the proposal for accommodating 20 seasonal workers. A considerable number of residents are concerned that this development has the potential to cause disturbance to neighbours and is not in keeping with the area. The House of Charles Street is currently situated in a general residential zone, and the opponents of this development would like it to stay that way. As a house in a residential street, for residential housing and not a hostel, dormitory or other purpose. This is somewhat being covered by Mr. Crush's comments, but the development application requests a conversion of this property from building code class 1A to 1B for up to 20 occupants. However, the National Construction Code describes a class 1B building which ordinarily has less than 12 people living in it. So it would seem this application for conversion of the building to class 1B is incorrect, as 1B only allows for occupancy for up to 12 persons, not 20. I would suggest this application should be class 3, not class 1B. Regardless, Cressy residents and close neighbours are very concerned about the impact this proposed development might have on them and their properties. One neighbour has highlighted to me that he and his partner purchased their property in good faith as a lifetime investment with all the amenity that living in a country town can bring. They are now confronted with the potential of high density occupancy literally on their doorstep, which is something they and others never envisaged for this street. Cressy has for some years had seasonal worker accommodation at the Ringwood Hotel and units at the southern end of the town. There have been some noise complaints and antisocial behaviour, which has been the cause of friction and distress for local residents and is seen as a potential problem here. There is also concern about parking and buses in use, what time in the early morning they might be collecting more workers and potentially disturbing neighbours. At times, Cressy's visitor accommodation capacity is full, and presenting the opportunity for residential properties to be converted by savvy developers into high return accommodation for workers. Cressy residents are not against development per se, but don't want to see conversion of residential property into high density hostels where these properties are then lost to the market for the foreseeable future. Residents would rather see the industry, council and other vested parties come together and develop suitable worker accommodation in the right place rather than ad hoc high-density development in our town. There is a proposal lodged with a local Latrobe council for a purpose-built facility at Wesley Vale, and maybe a similar development is needed as a solution for our seasonal workers in this region. Recently, over 250 Cressy residents have signed a petition against this development, as they are concerned that converting residential housing to seasonal worker accommodation is not appropriate.
Thank you. You've got that 3 minutes in there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak on planning 3628 Charles Street? Okay, we'll move to planning 4. Yes, Councillor Newman. Okay, planning 4 is the Longford Race for Dancy Street, Longford. Is there anyone who in the public wishes to speak or ask a question about planning 4? Okay, planning 5 is 2 Wellington Street, Longford. Does anyone wish to speak or ask a question about 2 Wellington Street, Longford? Planning 6 is 21 Drummond Crescent and 46 Drummond Street, Perth. Does anyone wish to speak or ask a question about that development application? I think that's yours.
Well, it is mine. I leave it to the professionals, but I will say that, if, you know...
Can you say your name again?
Sorry, Peter Madden, Longley, 41 Millhouses Road, Longley, Tasmania. The only thing I'd say is that after reading the representation, there's one representation. A lot of the items are very minor, and Google certainly, you know, if you want a condition on some of those representations brought up, you know, we're very flexible, because just to change things to adapt.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And there's nobody else who wishes to speak on planning 6? Okay,
right, now we'll move to
planning 1. Planning scheme amendment for
7
Wellington Street, Longford.
Thanks. So that application to amend the scheme, is part of the land general residential and part of the general business, and to extend the urban growth boundary around the property, plus to make general retail and higher permitted use in the rural resource zone associated with the shopping centre at 7 Wellington Street, Longford. The reason for that, the proposed rezoning, is to essentially reflect what's actually on the ground. A house, a parking area and access to the supermarket, which is going to be a general residential zone and a general business zone, respectively. Plus the rear part of the house is yard. So it's kind of a compliant scheme. We recommend the council initiate the amendment.
I'll move.
Second of Council Davis. Any discussion? Council Davis. I just want to know from the officer what this was zoned at before. What was zoned at before? Wants to be
rezoned to
general residential.
Yeah, so it's currently got 3 zones over the property.
This piece of ground they want to rezone general residential, piece in red.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what was that zone before?
So, if you look at that. Yeah, so that piece that's saying rezone general residential is currently zoned rural resource.
Rural resource.
Yeah.
I just want to go back a bit of time when they brought this to council. I mean, I remember they couldn't do it. The house was there, and the red part there was zoned as residential, so the house where the house was, and that's still there. I'm really worried about if they're going to rezone this, there's going to be more housing put down that area down there. And I wonder myself, it's bad enough to have one house down there. Why do we want any more houses down there? So I won't be supporting the motion of this. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, this is really, to some degree, also I should imagine there may be there's another couple of blocks below that house that's presently there. But I think we are rectifying also that the sheds, which were once I think a part of the house, the residence that's there now, and now is used by the local post office as a sorting sorted shed, and we're really now into giving it its right status, I think. Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah. The shed was originally associated with the house, is now it is for Mara Sorting. So they're proposing it to go into a general business zone, which suits that use.
Okay.
Any other discussion? I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against?
Aye.
Councillor Goss is against. And Councillor Brooks, you're against? Can you clarify you're against, Councillor Brooks?
Yes, I'm against it, Mayor.
You didn't wish to speak?
No.
No, that's fine. Motion's carried. Planning 2, 26 to 28 Charles Street and 14 Shoreland Road, Cressy.
Yeah, I'd like to move the recommendation. I'd also like to put another condition to it, which is 15.2. And that's the recommendation here, which is concrete footpath not constructed in front of the 26 to 28 Charles Street according to council standards. Council's got a plan to do the footpath up Charles Street. We've done the one up Church Street in this year, and I have to plan to do that in the near future. So I'd like some contribution towards that, to make that part of that, so I'd like to include that.
Do I have a second there?
Councillor Foley,
any further discussion?
Sorry, can you just, where does it fit in?
It's on Z drive.
Yeah, under which section?
15.2.
Just at the end?
User drawing.
I've got it, but I don't know where to put it.
Oh, anymore. Sorry. Yeah, make it 2.10 for magistrates.
Okay, if there's no further discussion, I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried.
Who seconded that?
Sorry?
Who seconded it?
Councillor Polly seconded it. Okay, planning 3 is 26 to 28 Charles Street, Cressy, the change of use to communal residence. Councillor Goss.
I'd like to move the recommendation.
Someone a seconder?
And
I'm just going to add something to it as well.
It's an additional one. I'll say the number, I'm not sure if that's right, 15.3. That's the proposal to generate more than 40 vehicles and empty room per day, consequent of course, E4 6.1A1, and will not maintain a separate safety for all road users, consequent of course, E4 363.032.
The recommendation in the agenda is that
Maybe misunderstanding about the number of people can be there, but Cressy people have really spoken strongly against this. The 250 people of a town with 440 people that signs the petition really means something. And I just hope that people take that on board, because it's really, really important to them. They're really concerned about the natural balance of the town. This is not just people's concern, but the number of houses that have been put into backpack accommodation or similar is really quite disturbing for the town, and it's really made the town really quite against that. So I'm supporting the recommendation. Really positive to hear that about other facilities being built in the state which are purpose built for this type of accommodation, and wouldn't that be a great way forward because the Cressy people want them in the town, but they've got them everywhere in the town. They want it to be a balance. That's all they want, just a balance.
and I think there will be a lot more reaction from the Cressy people about this development and many other developments in the future, because all they want is a balance. That's all they want. Thank you.
Councillor Adams.
I'm seconding.
Yeah, you seconded, yes.
Councillor Adams
speaking.
You
reserved
your
right?
I reserved the right to speak here, mate.
Thank you, Councillor.
Councillor Adams.
Yes, I think the issues here is the community, and the communities have to be given consideration. This does affect the amenity of the area, putting in, if you put 22, 24 people in one building. The pickers are mainly easy to get along with. Most of them, we haven't had many issues at all. But if we don't get this planning issues about their accommodation right, it has an effect, it will have an effect, I believe, on the whole program. And we need to do that, not in the middle of residential areas, not in the middle of country towns, but in areas that that are chosen that fit quite well. They're usually a great bunch of people that like to sing. They work along long periods of time, but when they have a good time, they need areas where they can sing and be happy and take out their recreation. So I think the recommendation is a good one, and by Councillor Goss, and that we can go forward with that. The traffic issues, which we've discussed at several workshops, there are buses needed to pick people up to take them off to their work. But a lot of them now also purchase cars, and several of them travel together. And those things aren't being given enough consideration in the overall planning issues that come before us as a council. So I'll be supporting the motion moved by Councillor Goss.
Councillor Polly.
Yeah, look, for the reasons that I spoke about earlier, and also what we've got to realise that Australia needs more and more workers to come into the country. We have a shortage of workers. This is going to grow. We know that the new federal government are emphasising making it easier for people from the Pacific and other nations to be able to get access to come in and do some of that work. So this issue is going to grow and grow and grow. And I think it's high time that not only the people who are sponsoring these people to come in, but indeed the people who are benefiting from it, our farmers, ought to get together and sort this issue out. It's going to become a huge problem into the future. It's very relevant to this area. If you look at the fruit growing and vegetable growing, etc., etc., in this area, it's similar to the northwest coast. If you go down the Huon, you have a problem. And I know I speak to people in the Huon. They are concerned about the welfare and living conditions into the future of these workers. And I think we're being very, very hypocritical if we don't set the same standard we expect for our own workers, and we're going to be relying on these people well and truly for the foreseeable future. It's interesting to note that the 1 in 2 people voting in the last federal election are over 56 years of age in Australia. Over 56 years of age. We're an ageing population. So this is going to be a growing issue. We need to start sorting it out now. We don't want to repeat what happened on the northwest coast, where you had a scandal there of a huge amount of people in a small housing accommodation. And I know the vast bulk want to do the right thing, but there's always others who will cut corners. So I strongly support the recommendation as it was moved by my fellow councillor, Deputy Gambier.
Any further discussion? I'll put that recommendation to the vote. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Aye. Motion's carried. We need to get Councillor Dinner back in. Okay, planning for the Longford Race Course and City Street Longford.
I just think it's tidying up of some of the areas there. This will bring some things together and also give them an office space. It's talked about in our consultation that we did with Taz Racing and pulled that together. And some of this area has got very untidy over the years, and very tired too, so this will be good to pull all that together and have a nice new shed.
Okay, I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour? Councillor Brooks, beg your pardon, I didn't see you, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll support the recommendation, but I am concerned that these type of sheds and where it's built right next to that historic grandstand, and I'm just hoping that it doesn't detract away from that grandstand. It's got a lot of history there, and also the master plan of the racecourse as well. It doesn't really fit with that master plan that TAS Racing presented before, but I am happy to support it, but I've got a few concerns.
Thank you. No further discussion? I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Claim 5, 2 Wellington Street, Longford.
The ancillary dwelling in the light industrial zone. We received a representation from a neighbouring property concerned potential industrial use in the surrounding area might be restricted. The assessment finds that that's not the case, and the application also complies with all relevant provisions, and it's recommended for approval.
I'm not going to support this recommendation. I understand what's put our argument forward, but I'm just really concerned about building another building down there in a large industrial area. It's industrial stuff all around this area, and just putting another building there would be as a residential right next to the train track. I just don't think it's a good idea, so I want to support it.
No further discussion? I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against?
Aye.
You're for or against, Councillor Brooks?
I'll put my hand up for it, Sam.
For, that's fine. Councillor Goss is here on against.
Yeah.
Motion to pass. Planning 6 is 21 present, Drummond present, and 46 Drummond Street, 3rd.
Yes. So in an application, 16 multiple dwellings, one existing one, 15 new ones. There's a number of discussions which are listed in the report, and there's also representation. The discussions can be addressed through the conditions which are in the recommended approval, such as screening to windows and the installation of double glazing. The access past the existing dwelling unit 1 isn't the required width for that number of vehicles, and it doesn't have a separate pedestrian access. That required assessment from traffic engineer, whose report is included in the attachments, and who found that it satisfies the performance criteria regarding convenience and safety. So the application is recommended for approval.
Any discussion? All those in favour?
Aye.
I'm happy to move the motion that we've got in front of us, that the application be refused, the application to use and develop the land at Drummond Street and Drummond Crescent be refused on a number of grounds. The proposal doesn't comply with clause 10.4.8 part 1c. The common waste storage area is less than 5.5 metres from unit 1 and is not separated from the dwelling to minimise impacts caused by odours or noise. The second reason, the proposal does not comply with clause E6.7.2 part 2a. With the width of 3 metres, the access is not the driveway access is not convenient, safe and efficient to use. And part C, the proposal does not comply with clause E6.8.5 part 1. Pedestrian access is not provided in accordance with the table in the reading that safe pedestrian access is not provided between the entrances to the buildings and the road. We were also advised by Council Planning Officer that Council, as stormwater service provider, will not approve a connection to the public stormwater system until it is satisfied that there will be no detriment to the public stormwater system. So there's three clear grounds and a note about the stormwater connection that provide appropriate grounds for refusal.
Councillor Adams has seconded that
objection. Yeah, I'll speak there if that's okay with you. Yeah, this is this application also, I believe, the carports are depending on what size of car you have, whether you'd be able to get out the door, especially if you were my size. And I think there's a lot of grounds, as has been said, and I don't think the driveway itself, 3 metres, just isn't what it should be. With some engineer, traffic engineer, giving us a tick, I believe brings the whole question of these matters and the size of the driveway. I don't know why the fire service wouldn't be very, very concerned with a vehicle, if you've got 26, is it 26 or 19 dwellings, in there and one of them on fire and a vehicle broken down on this narrow driveway, the only entrance in, how does the fire truck get in there? With great difficulty, with having to tow a car out or something. I believe these things are real issues for the planning scheme and for the state, the new state planning scheme, where we don't seem to be getting any traction at all. And I believe this we should reject this application.
Any further discussion?
Well, I think that unless the phone is prepared to inquire them out and have a look at all these issues, I've got no choice but to actually reject it. I know the area very well. It's extremely wet. All the water off this area, I've door-knocked it for 40-odd years as a local MP, and I used to come home thoroughly wet feet, I can assure you, during the winter. And so the drainage really concerns me. And is it going to go across onto the open drains in Drummond Street, where we already have a problem with a potential problem with drainage anyway? So I'd like to see that resolved. And also the access, I mean, quite frankly, 3 metres, as one councillor said, her car's only about 3 metres wide. So as you get down the drive and out of the drive, and if you happen to have somebody coming down, walking down the drive to go to the shop, and the car's coming up the drive, there's all sorts of problems, and I'd just like to see that resolved, so therefore I can support it. And if the council refuses to allow them to connect, which we do have the power under the Drainage Act, they could be, in my view, throwing caution to people to go ahead with this without resolving some of these issues.
Okay, I'll put the recommendation
to the council. The part that I'm always concerned about these type of developments, and the last one we've got first in was looking forward to that for the same reason. When people are backing out of their car driveway or their car and then backing into someone else's front door area, where someone can come out of the front door, a little kid or an old person, that type of stuff, I think there needs to be some kind of separation between the front door and the roadway. And I can't see it on this plan, and I don't think it's there. It could well be there, but there is a bit of a line around it. I think it's just the curve in the footpath. But I do think we need to have some kind of separation, because I don't think that a young child or an older person come out and then the person across the road could back straight out and back straight over them. I think that's not acceptable in these days. So that's something that I know it's in there. It's separation from driveways, and I think that's something that's really, really important. Thank you.
No further discussion. I'll put the recommendation. This is the recommendation to refuse. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Councillor Brooks, are you for or against? You're on mute. Yep.
Yeah, I'm against the recommendation to review.
Yes. So Councillor Brooks is against it. So the motion's carried. Okay, can we have a mover and a second to the move out of planning, please? Councillor Gimmonen, Councillor Landers. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, we go back to 9.7, the general license application. Page 52 on the iPad.
Activity in the zoning table, so I'm concerned about that. It's not clear to me about who the property is owned by and what the plans are for the actual plans for this look like. So at this point in time, I simply don't have enough information to make an informed decision. So on that basis, I have no option but to vote against it.
Any further discussion?
Questions, that's all. Just to the officer, I'm not sure the officer is it you? Just with the kennel licensing, just in touch, any kennel license, it's only a license for 12 months, that's correct. Right.
And we do and, reviews.
And if the people, the operators don't meet the guidelines or the requirements or the policy, then their license are withdrawn. So we've got, there's some protection there for the residents that if the people don't come up to standard, we can the operations can be closed down quite simply. Correct.
And with the coming out of the country, if there hadn't been their previous operation been appropriate, council officers wouldn't have been recommending this one go forward. And also, there needs to be a rezoning that needs to happen. So, council, if they're happy to, you actually agree to the permit, then there needs to be a rezoning for the site.
So there's nothing about that in this paper, though?
No, it is identified in the paper, I'm sure that's
No, I've read it.
No, it isn't. It's identified that it's a commercial use in a residential zone, but there's no indication that there's an intent to apply for a rezoning. That's what I'm saying, I don't have enough information, generator.
Well, sorry, actually, I read that in there, so it was made clear to me that it actually was required.
I can't see it then.
No, it's not. It's actually for the permit for the actual site. And then before the permit actually can be implemented, that the rezoning needs to occur.
That's not in the motion.
Yeah. No,
it's
not in the motion.
It's on page one, but it doesn't talk about the rezoning before the license grant or anything like that. And that's where I was confused with the whole thing. I went and saw Lisa's operation in Phillip Street, and I was, despite the fact it's an internal block with eight dogs, I was quite happy with it. But my concern is this is a commercial operation which is not permitted in that low density. But there was nothing mentioned to me at the time, or I understood that it was going to be rezoned, subject to rezoning. And if that's the case, then I've got no issue in having a business if it's been rezoned. But I'd like to see that reworded in a correct manner that, you know, that the licence doesn't go ahead until the rezoning is done.
Well, actually, it's one of the options there, approve a kennel licence for a smaller number of dogs, state the application, specific conditions for litters a year attached to the kennel licence, subject to planning approval and permits for breeding to be allowed. So that was one of the options for consideration. It may have been better to actually include that in the recommendation. I understand that. So it's clearly identified.
Well, I think it needs to be clearly in there. I've seen now at my time different motions go through, and it's been understood this and understood that, but at the end of the day, 6 months later, nothing's been understood. So, I mean, I'll vote against it if it's not in the motion to say that rezoning, and I think it's only wise of us to do that way, that rezoning occurs first.
It's actually in there, it says, place the following additional conditions on the kennel licence. It actually says, place the following additional conditions on the kennel licence. Breeding can only, which is what I understand is you need the planning approval for. Breeding can only take place if a planning approval is in place.
But that doesn't mean you can't keep 12 dogs there and not breed from them.
No, you can keep the 12 dogs, but you can't breed.
Correct, and my view is that it needs to be rezoned before any dogs or any breeding is done full stop, and then it's fine. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to put something? I think Paul probably needs to comment.
The mover and the seconder, do you wish to have?
Well, I'd like clarification from the officer who did this to that it reflects that.
So that's
Paul
and Ryan
might be able to comment on the planning of food.
So I've been discussing this with Lisa, and so rezoning is not. I don't believe that that
is... I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Sorry.
Speak up.
I don't believe rezoning would be the correct pathway for this to happen. It is possible to apply for a site-specific amendment, but at this stage, our recommendation is that they seek, under the upcoming the Tasmanian Planning Scheme, to apply as a home-based business. It would be assessed under that, given that it would have to meet the conditions to be defined as such. If it wasn't defined as a home-based business, then a site-specific amendment, but not rezoning.
There's none that's mentioned in here.
None of that's mentioned in here.
No. Because it's two processes. One's a kennel licence process, and one's a planning.
Sorry, that's another key point. This process at the moment is not part of it. Planning would come after this.
So this is the kennel licence process only?
I think that's where the councils are coming from. I think they want some clarity around to clearly identify that that will be the step taken before the site's actually built.
I mean, with due respect, it's like wanting to build a factory on residential land, subject to sometime later on down the track you'll rezone it. I mean, I would have thought this is a commercial operation. It's not. It's a kennel licence for a commercial operation. It's just not a kennel licence. And so I think that I'd like to see the facts laid out correctly before it's moved. I think that we need to look at, and I think it's been talked about before at this camps and workshops, that there are kennel licences and then there's kennel licences that are commercial. And they need to be treated differently.
Yeah.
And this one here, to me, is one of them. If it's set up as a business and they're breeding for business purposes, well then it needs, to me, the land needs to be zoned appropriately for that.
Councillor Paul,
you
want to ask?
Yeah, look, I can see councillors have got some concerns. I think, yeah, personally, the person involved is, to my satisfaction, has performed very well, very honourably. We gave a licence in a densely populated area. At the time, undertakers were given to seek a better area for moving the kennel to that. As I said, that is being complied with. I'd like it, but I understand if the matter's pushed tonight, it may not get up. I therefore move the matter be deferred until the next council meeting, and that give an opportunity then for these issues to be clarified.
So Councillor Foley and Councillor Gross are moving to defer to the next meeting. I can put that now. Yes.
I have
basically going to stand up. So
they're
not
going to move to another motion.
Sorry. Yes, I'll put this motion first, and if it's one, it's deferred back to the other one. Okay, I'll put that recommendation, that it's deferred to the next meeting. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Sorry, Councillor Davis.
But in that deferral, could we also look at the difference between a kennel licence and a kennel licence for a business and have some clarity? Because I think that a lot of the councillors and officers were confused with that last item, and I think there needs some clarification around what is a commercial licence and what is a private licence, if that makes sense.
There are two different licences, and I think they have been provided through a workshop. I don't think they've been openly discussed yet. But I think it's good, as you're asking for, to clearly identify that in the report.
So when they come up and they want to have a commercial licence somewhere, then the land has got to be this or this. And it's no argument with that sort of thing there.
Yes, thanks.
That was part of the point that I was trying to make, Mayor, and I really resent the fact that you didn't allow me to speak to the motion that was on the table that I wished to address and move forward to another motion that then cut off my ability to have an input. Councillor Gannon's right. We do have a number of different categories of kennel licence, more than two. There's a number of different categories. There's also best practice kennel licence guidelines that a number of councils have been working on through the gap, and I've asked on a number of occasions for us to have a conversation, not necessarily in a workshop, but around what they might look like, so that to a workshop we can bring a more nuanced and best practice set of guidelines to consider, which give that sort of clarity. And I'll make same thing about the rooster one, which comes up first word in the papers. There's no point just having a workshop if we don't have the appropriate information in front of us when we do this discussion.
The Commonwealth Bank customer advocate visit, this is the report to that visit.
I'll move the recommendation. I'd like to speak to it. I just want to speak to it, only to my own personal opinion. When I wanted to talk about the CBA Bank a bit longer. When they reduced the hours from whatever they did to normal hours to what they are now, I went in and I made an official complaint to them, and they took my complaint down, and yes, they did. Their team in New South Wales did bring me back, and they listened to my complaint. My complaint was that their hours were only open in the morning. What about people that don't work on the town? We couldn't get to the bank at all. They boxed out for the times they did. And the lady in New South Wales or Brisbane or wherever she was, she said, yes, we listened to you, no problems. I said, do you think we could do anything about having one day a week where the bank's open after hours? And they said, we'll take that to the thing, and that's all we heard. And so basically I've got their customer service person that only just got added to the toilet and nothing. So I was disappointed. I will remove the recommendation, but I thought that they didn't really look after the community at all. It didn't really need more effective.
Councillor Lambert.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, I brought this to our attention, as you will know, a couple of meetings ago. And I've asked a couple of extra questions, and it looks like councillors weren't invited or didn't get information about this, is the note that I was provided with anyway, and that the Northern Midlands Business Association were not involved. I find that absolutely incredible. That as a council, we support the Northern Midlands Business Association, yet they weren't involved in this process. This banking organisation have closed in St Mary's recently, and I would have thought that would have been a red flag to our community to absolutely stand up and go, oh, okay, they're coming to visit us. Why are they coming to visit us? We should be involved as much as we possibly can in making sure that we don't end up like St Mary's, where they have to climb, you know, go a long way to do their businesses have to go a long way to now do their banking, any kind of real business banking. I think the Northern Midlands Business Association would have been able to rally far more troops than I think this report says. One business. Now, I think that's good on that person and that business owner for getting involved. Well done. But there's a lot of other businesses out there that I don't know why they didn't attend or did they know about it.
And 29 were visitors. In the local businesses, all businesses in the town.
Did that include Campbelltown? Because it says here that they were going through Campbelltown.
No, that included Longford because they were visiting Longford.
They mentioned something in here about Campbelltown as well. So Campbelltown didn't get a visit at all.
What about businesses that bank in Longford?
That's right, from Perth or other areas. So I'm really concerned about where the Commonwealth Bank are going to land with all of this, because it looks like we don't care what happens. You know, one business turns up and our peak business association was not even involved in this. Makes me feel really nervous. I can just see that they would be thinking along the same lines, well, we don't have the amount of customers that we need, that they didn't come to the meeting, they didn't have any input. I'm just really concerned about what's going to happen next. So I want to see some follow-up from this meeting. I would like to see, I'll put a motion that I would like to see a further report where we had made contact with Commonwealth Bank to get a report from their findings from this and what they're planning to do in the future with CBA Bank in Campbelltown and Longford. Because they are crucial to our communities and we need to be making sure that we're on the front foot, not the back foot when it comes to this.
Councillor Polly.
Yeah, well, there's a long-term custom in the bank. 50 years. All I can say is that it's a fulfilling thing that they intend to do. They seem to go through the process, and I know that we made contact. We were contacted as customers of theirs. No doubt the business houses who deal with them were contacted. You know, they're trying to force everybody onto online banking, and they make it as difficult as they can, and they're not the only bank doing it. All the banks are doing it, perhaps except Bendigo Bank, or one of the more community-based banks. I think you'd spend more time trying to get that sorted out than chasing these big ones, because they are not interested in the individual customer. If you ring the Launceston Bank for Commonwealth Bank and try to make an appointment, they say, we'll get back to you by the end of business today. Having tried for 3 weeks to set an appointment up, when we went in, they said, oh, well, you know, that just doesn't bother about that. They actually want, unless you physically go into the bank, you can't get an appointment. Then you've got to wait in the queue. And if you want to do some banking in town, there's only about two tellers anyway at the end of the bank. So I think this is a commercial operation of the whole of the banking industry. The bigger banks are doing that. So we would be far better than putting our staff to better use trying to contact the Bendigo Bank and set this up than chasing a red herring, because that's all it is. Eventually, they're forcing everybody onto banking. I had to change a credit card just recently, and then all of a sudden they changed the rules, where to go through and go on online meeting to sort it out. So.
There is a couple of options that you can bank in the Australian Post Office in Hill Street, which is quite handy if you want to just withdraw and deposit. But like Councillor Foley said, if you've got some other technical issues like cards and things like that, it would make it awfully hard for those people that were working 9 to 5. Those 29 businesses, it's hard to believe that only one person showed any interest. Have we got a list of those 29 businesses that were sending invitations?
I will ask for that, yes.
It sounds like it's a bit, for one business, 29 invitations went out, and it's fairly important. Most of those lots of businesses would be using that bank. It just seems strange to me that only one person will take it up.
Councillor Adams.
Oh, thank you, yes. He's concerned about the process, and I thought some of us that had to do with corporations might have been, would have asked some of the questions that needed to be asked, which Councillor Adams has put down. There's a reduction in the service to the community, especially the businesses. I can remember when the banks all moved out of the East Coast, people travelling from part of the East Coast down to Sorrel, from Bishano to bank their money, etc. I think we should have asked them what their intentions were, whether why we wouldn't have done that. I can't believe that we wouldn't ask that, just to give them our credibility as a council to facilitate a meeting. I think was a very poor choice. I think we to champion the Bendigo Bank, you need to get a champion, and you need to get the pledges of a certain amount of money so that it's a worthwhile. Bendigo Bank then puts a community amount of money that comes out of its profits, which are re-committed to the community by grant funding, etc. So that is a better option from a corporation like the Commonwealth Bank. So I believe. So a poorly bit of process that we've gone through as a council.
So I'd like to put a motion.
So you had a hand of the board on the play. Has
your
name on the list?
No, I'm not a motion, so would you like to speak?
I would like to speak to that, thank you.
Sorry, before that, Madam, there is a motion to move once discussion
starts.
I'm
trying to speak to it.
Yeah. And I didn't see Councillor Lambert stand first. Councillor Day, you were still going to this one. I didn't realise you were putting another motion.
We, as Councillor Lambert has rightly pointed out, we are very strongly supportive of the Northern Midlands Business Association. The fact that this could have happened without them is appalling. The fact that only 29 businesses were identified by council officers and written to in Longford does not reflect the broader character of the area. I personally have two businesses that I run the banking for. They're both banking with Commonwealth. And I would have had something to say had I been invited, and that's Perth. And I know there would be others from Perth, and I'm sure there would be from Evandale and the surrounding areas as well. So I think we need to reinforce our commitment to engaging with our business association and making sure that where there are activities like this, and we need to demonstrate cohesion and commitment, that we do engage them, because that's where the strength from the business community will come.
Thank you. Councillor Lambert seconded that motion there.
And you'll second that to get the conversation.
Yes.
And so can I put a motion forward that council write to Angela Miller of CBA Bank,
you want to answer that motion,
asking what their plans are
for CBA banking in Northern Midlands.
Yeah, we're going to add to that.
Yeah.
Council would like to have
community into the future, and that we revisit, Councillor Brooks made a good point, that we revisit our BDO deck plans, because we already went down this track to BDO deck. If you remember a few years ago, we expressed interest in wanting to pursue Bendigo Bank. So I think we need to revisit that and see where that goes.
Just a point I want to make, just about that this is a no-purpose effect on only 29 businesses I asked. We've got 847 farms in Northern Midlands. 847. Some of those farms would turn over more than $10 million a year, and they would bank with the CBA. I know they might listen to me, because I don't do that, but there's plenty of people in the community they might listen to. They turn over really big amounts, and we just need to, if we want to really get on their case, we need to get everybody on their case, not just one business.
Some of those businesses turn over.
Perhaps we add to that we take this up with the business association. We do sponsor the business association, and it's hardly fair to put all that just onto council staff. We ought to just get council staff to take the matter up with the business association. For God's sake, now the people who are in business, they ought to be the ones that are out there lobbying for it, you know, and perhaps take the leadership on Bendigo Bank, because, you know, our staff, as we all know, are under pressure and under pump all the time. So perhaps the shortcut is to go to the business association and say, look, this is your baby. We have a problem here with banking. You're in business. Can you take this matter up? Particularly as far as the legal bank is concerned.
So can that be included in the motion
from that? Yeah, that it also be involved the business association in trying to sort this out.
I would really object to that. You know, many of the people who bank the Commonwealth Bank are not businesses. It's our job to represent ratepayers. Some ratepayers will be businesses. They'll have a very effective advocate in the Business Association. Many ratepayers are not businesses, and it's down to us to represent their interests in that sort of conversation.
Is that as well as community organisations?
Yeah,
we're not changing the motion.
No, I'll withdraw my idea then.
Okay, right. I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour? Against? Carried. 9, 10 is Laycock Street Park Longshed. Councillor Goss.
Move the recommendation.
And Councillor Adams is seconding.
They started doing the development up on the street and got the Laycock Park I think it's really important in this area, the soil of the town. There isn't really any park space out that side of the town. There are some down on Little Street East, and there are some down in the bottom end of the town, and there are some on the southern end of the town, northern end and the southern end. In this area there isn't any. This area is a definite through path area. Anyone comes from down Wellington Street or even from this area over behind Laycock Street, because it all verges on this point on Laycock Street, Falkney Street and Wellington Street. This park area has a lot of traffic going past all of it. So I think it's really important to do something here. I know we probably have a budget for the budget. We did talk earlier about putting some funds from the sale of the ground in the property in Bruce Place towards it, and I think it'd be really good if we get some, you know, look to seek some funding in the future for this particular park. And if nothing else, you know, maybe start the surrounds off around the outside and clean it up so that people could use it just as a public open space, even if there's no furniture there or nothing, just make it a bit more tidy. I'm sure that we can do something there with a very limited amount of money, I would think, but not the whole lot.
Councillor Lambert. I noticed there's a lot of gates up along Laycock Street. I was just hoping that there was one along Wellington Street, and I couldn't find one, but then there is one right down here in the corner, so I'm happy about that. that looked a little bit top heavy with just gates on one side. My only other query would be the fencing. That would be a huge cost overruns, fencing. Is that something that we absolutely have to have? We've got fencing around all of our parks.
Well, maybe I think council has identified they'd like to see fencing in a number of sites. Now, it doesn't have to have fencing. That's a council decision yet to be made. But I think we have identified fencing there. The reason being is that council has been very clear in its mind in regards to the Victoria Park site. Clearly, they didn't want any fencing on that. And they suggest that there are other sites where fencing is, where parents are actually worried about their kids and they can be fenced in. But again, in saying that, that doesn't need to be one of the sites. The funding for this work will actually can come through a channel, for instance, in the, I think it's mentioned in the report there, phase three of this, the Australian government funding for community infrastructure, which is roads and community infrastructure. We're going to have funds made available, $1 million. We'll advise in Canberra over there that they're adding about another $250 million to that. So there's a good possibility that we may get another $500,000. It could be up to about 1.5, which by the end of this year, is my understanding, we'll need to determine the allocation for that. And I think as identified there, we're also, the council's agreed to get the master plan done for the Napoleon playground in the Perth.
So can I just then get a clarifying question? So it's thinking of in, would it go around the all the way around the outside, or?
Yeah, at this stage, we're all the way around the outside. But part of that area is obviously the ball area, sort of recreation type area, and the playgrounds at the end. There's also the ability to have a toilet block there. The funding, but the options so far have included funding for that. But we've actually ensured that there's the connections will work to connect into the future.
Oh, excellent, because I think that's probably going to be quite
important. We've got to incorporate those at the end of the line.
Okay, we've got Councillor
Vinnan
and Councillor Adams, Councillor Brooks, and Councillor
Vinnan. Long time since I've used the playground, and probably don't know what the playground looks like. But if we've asked the public in that area what their requirements, what they'd like to see,
yes, we have.
They've seen this plan, yeah, and they've had comment to it.
Yeah, gone out to
that's great.
I think we may have only had one comment. I think it came through from Councillor Brooks. So when there was a few Facebook
okay, that's good.
Posts,
great.
But generally,
no more interest in that. Okay, good.
Councillor Adams.
Yes, this is just shifting things around to deal with the areas. There's a playground at Lewis Street West, which caters for that area there, which has got a lot of young children, and then Laycock Street doesn't, so we're just going to hopefully move things down. The general manager has clarified the amount of money we'll have to do that and make it a good area for kids and for recreation for the kids. So I support that concept.
Councillor Brooks.
Yes, I had a lot of people contact me regarding this park, and a lot of people were wanting a half basketball, like a hoop shooting half basketball like they have over at Hatchford. I did suggest it, but I couldn't see it on the concept plan. I was wondering why it never got a Guernsey, given the amount of children that shoot basketball hoops, and it would have been a low cost thing to incorporate into the landscape concept plan. But I couldn't see it, but the plan was that small. I couldn't find a magnifying glass to actually get in close enough to have a look at it.
Madam Mayor, we've identified it in the report. We usually don't go back and redo the concept plan, because that's all it is, the concept plan. If there's a requirement to include it, it can be included, but we won't spend the money on altering that plan. It will be incorporated into the construction plan.
Happy
there. Does that make sense?
No, it didn't make sense to me. We've asked for comment, but if we get comment to change it, we can't change it. Is that what you're saying?
No, you're incorporating the construction plan.
And then when we construct it, okay, right, the next plan out. Okay, yep, I understand.
Money on the other, that's all.
Yep, good.
Okay,
I'd like to ask about electric barbecue. Is that the best place for electric barbecue in that area? I just have a little question on that. I'm not sure if that's right. The one's being a bit good place for park, I'm not sure about barbecue.
Well, there may be problems with a number of items. I think as council would be aware from our Facebook post, we've been having problems with some of the reports within the certain areas. So it seems to be an ongoing trade at the moment with certain individuals that wish to damage particularly public toilets. I think this location could be very similar if there's individuals out there that that's their pastime. But generally we try to provide, I think the council tries to provide facilities for the community that they can use, but there's always the individual that's going to damage it. That's the answer you want.
I think we've got to look at that strong support.
Okay, I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Okay, 9.11 is the policy for the human resources policy, COVID-19 and emergency vaccination and provision of information policy.
And who seconded, sorry?
Councillor Goss seconded.
That's generally where we are at. I think there's been obviously with us, the government has been moving really now with regards to wearing masks and seven days at home and no such thing as contact. But again, there's no requirement for them to stay home. They can leave home by wearing a mask for some of the days. And what we look at those will change. I'm not sure what those changes might be. But I've been through this job recently, and people that are in the home with me, I had to stay home, the others could leave, because they kept testing me. So
where in the policy does it talk about review? I couldn't see where it specifically said to review these changes. Things are changing daily. I mean, we've got New South Wales, I think Victoria, Queensland, all dropping mandatory vaccinations. I wonder, we need to have something in here about reviewing as public health change things. I'm not quite sure that is reflected in here.
Yeah. Well, council normally reviews the policy every 12 months or 2 years, depending on what the policy is. But in saying that, council may wish to review this more quickly, because the majority of this may become redundant.
Yes,
exactly.
So I think we need to have something in about that. Councillor Davis.
I'd like to foreshadow another motion.
Yes.
The council policies reflect the government policies of the day, so that we keep in line with whatever the government is doing, and we don't tie it. I mean, this horse bolted a while ago. We're going to look like dickheads if we do this, because all the rules have changed subsequently. So what I think we need to do to make sure that we deliver the workplace that, the workplace requirements and the responsibilities that we have is ensure that our policy reflects whatever the policy of the government is at the day.
The state government.
Yeah.
And I wonder about that, why we've gone to this much effort here, when I would have thought most businesses are just simply following, unless they've got some different peculiar occupation, that they are just following whatever the state announces. And as and when they announce the change to, I think next week, the masks for different other organisations are off, and why we're not just following what the state's putting out on its website on a regular basis, so therefore it changes when our policy changes exactly in time with what the state does. And I think most of this is just as it was, what I read here and could read, was exactly what the state's put out 4 or 5 months ago. So.
Okay, so I'll put
that. I just assume we were following that.
Yeah, we have been. Yeah. But this is what council asked.
Yeah, we
obviously, we've taken a while to get it in because we haven't had
Officer
on board.
Yeah.
The surveys were done, the reports have been put together, and you couldn't foreshadow 6 months ago
where
we were
going to be.
Probably in the last 2 months, yes.
Yeah. Okay, happy that we just followed the state.
And every worksite followed.
No, there's, yeah.
So I can put forward that motion first, can I? Yes, I'll put that motion forward. The policy reflects the state government policies of the day.
Okay.
All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Now that that's passed, we don't need to go back to the other one?
No.
No, good. Thank you. Okay, C&D report, monthly report. Any discussion?
Yeah, I've got discussion.
Yes.
Again, I'm having trouble matching page numbers to reports. I must have opened one set when I did the notes, and now I'm on a different set. Why are there so few inspections in the, I think it's the food safety, 10.1. Is
We've had a change of offices, and during that change we've been short of offices for periods, and they've been getting around as quickly as they can.
Right. Okay. That's my only question on 10.1.
Okay, I'll put the recommendation.
Sorry. Are we dealing with all of 10 or just 10.1? All the information items, all the...
No, 10.1 monthly report. It's a Melbourne service. And there's a recommendation for that. Let the report be noted.
I'll move that.
I'm just going to put that motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. And 10.2 is the review of the state planning services.
Perhaps, Madam Mayor, Mr. Goddard can provide some comments, and I think there was a matter raised previously, maybe able to add to this from previous discussion earlier in the meeting.
Thanks. So, yes, the state government's advised us that a review of the state planning provisions. It's being undertaken. Some councils have been on using the state provisions for a number of years now, 2 or 3 years, and so it's timely for the 5-yearly review. And this council hasn't been on them yet. We're expecting to go on a bit later in the year. We have noticed a few issues that are there in the report. Matters that the councillors have previously raised. Then the seasonal work accommodation, a submission we council put to the draft plan directive 8, which removed requirements for a certain area of the site to be free from impervious surfaces, and to have dwellings directly accessible to their open space, etc. And the flood-prone areas hazard code. So at the moment, this is a scoping exercise for the review of state planning provisions. The details will come once the state government's decided on the scope. But there are three items suggested that council put up.
Before we go to that item, can I just suggest that under the flood-prone areas hazard code, we put 2010, not 2100.
That's what I thought.
Okay.
Can you say that?
2100.
Yeah, because we're wanting to then to address climate change events, which is 2100.
So it's all before you.
That's fine. Okay, I need a mover and a second for our motion. Councillor Davis?
Move, but I wish to speak and add some stuff.
I need a mover.
I've
moved. You are happy to move, sorry. And Councillor Ross. Yes, Councillor Davis.
I think this is a good summary of a number of the issues we've got in front of us. In the section, and I don't know whether this is where it fits or not, but we've had a number of discussions about our view that in a residential zone, in a township area, the minimum residential lot for an individual dwelling should be 450 square metres. I'd like to see some discussion of that put in there as well, because it's been a very big issue for us over recent times. This is our chance to have another go. And also to look at, and again, I don't know how it fits, I don't know what the words are, I have to rely on the officers, but we've had this conversation twice tonight, and I think every meeting over the last probably 12 months about multiple dwelling sites with access that's not readily safe for large vehicles particularly, but even smaller vehicles. So, you know, how we deal with these subdivision applications for multiple dwellings where you can't get the big truck down and you can't get the ambulance down. So something about access requirements. We keep getting these applications coming forward requiring discretions, and then we get, you know, hold for a pillar to post in the tribunal. Something goes wrong, this will be on our heads.
And only one way in, one way out.
That one up here in Mulgrave Street, George Street, how they let that go through when we had the opportunity to have an in and an out, how they let that go through is beyond my comprehension. And I'll go to my grave worrying.
Never makes sense.
So yes, I think this is a great idea, but there's a number of other issues that we've talked about over time that this is our chance to get in and have a say about.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is the right place to add this, but this is something I've been banging on about. When we've got multiple dwellings, I think they must provide separation between the doorways and traffic areas.
Yeah, that's another.
And that's something that I think we need to put in there for sure. I don't think it's in there. But I think that needs to go in there. I'm not sure if anything else we've missed over the last couple of months where we've talked about these things in depth a lot of times, but I think it's been covered here tonight. I'm just looking to read a bit there about the seasonal work accommodation. And I'm just hoping that's adequate as well. We need to put something else in there.
Thank you. This is good. These issues, we'll certainly raise them. The transport issue around communal housing is something that isn't part of the planning scheme, and it should be a part of it, and it should have even discretion or something to allow decisions to be made by for or against. Certainly, the keeping the integrity of country towns by having 450-metre blocks, I think that sort of intent, saying that we need to save our country towns or keep our country areas, as opposed to being able to build a multi-storey apartment block in a city. Road access just so important, and how one road engineer expert can say, no, 3 metres is okay, 4 metres high, that's all okay, give it a tick. I think that's right. The rubbish bins, the wheelie bin, 40 wheelie bins along the front of the street on one of these 3 metre. Now, this one that we've had out today has got its own rubbish removal inside. See how that'll go with all the residents. And someone putting stuff in and filling them up. All these issues, I think they're very good, but they all need to go into our submission to the state planning.
I agree with everything that's been said. Now the problem, of course, with the rubbish, but a lot of these people going into these areas don't realise, and there's a problem coming the other day about Body Corporate, that they don't realise that they're up for all the road maintenance, and in this particular one, there's actually a problem in relation to one of the retaining walls moving. And so all of a sudden, the 13 or 14 people count that finding it all up for a share of the cost. Not many people realise that. And we really need to look at this in a big way.
Okay, I've got movement seconder. I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Okay.
Against? Carried. Corporate services, Mr. Riddle.
The monthly financial statement. This is the first item. You will notice in section 3 there that we have got some alterations for this month, just big projects that will be carried forward or deferred. That's just to adjust the books before 30th of June for the auditors. Other than that, I haven't got anything else to report this stage.
I have a number of questions, I'm very concerned about the list of projects to be carried forward. I'm going to get on my pet hobby horse again. There goes that Wooden Street footbridge. It's U4, U5 that's carried forward. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. There's no provision for review of these. We're not given the opportunity to talk about it, except given as a budget charge. I'm not clear from all the paperwork that I've got here whether those provisions are carried forward into the current, like the 22-23 budget, or are they just left hanging? If they're carried forward, do they get priority over some of the other works that are listed in the projects? If I have to go back to Perth for another year and tell them that footbridge has been carried over, I'll be strung up, I can tell you that right now. We've got so much capital works provision in our out-year budget, 22-23. We've now added in this whole lot again with no indication for a lot of it when it's ever going to get done. So our Perth bypass hasn't started, our Main Street project hasn't started, our bridge and Riverside Park haven't started. There's a whole bunch of other things in here in other areas. I'm not comfortable with the process by which we get to this point. I'm not comfortable with the fact that it's only now, 3 days out before the end of the year, that we find out that these things are not going to get finished or even dealt with in this year's budget. They've not been included in any of the conversations we've had about next year's budget. And I think we're just stacking too many things into our capital works budget that do two things. Three things. They set us up to fail. They make us look like idiots with our community because we keep over-promising and under-delivering. And thirdly, they blow out the amounts on the capital works budget, which means we need to, to keep it looking accounting straight, we've got to have more rates. I'm really, really, really not happy about the way we're handling this.
Well, Madam Mayor, we actually have no control over the timelines. If everybody would have actually listened to the radio the other day and they listened to our Minister for Infrastructure for the state, they've got a whole lot of projects that they're carrying forward, and the reason being is they're unable to actually get the contractors. I think it's worthwhile listening to the works manager and what he's been attending to or putting up with in the last 12 months or so with regards to finding contractors, finding staff to actually complete our work.
I need to be clear, General Manager, I'm not in shock. I understand exactly, and that's my point. I understand that we are not going to get these things done. To that end, I don't understand why we're predicting that we will, when we know that we won't. And I don't understand how we're prioritising some of the works that have been, like the Perth footbridge, the Wooden Street footbridge, been on the works list now for, 5-6 years, Lee?
Been on there a while. We didn't have a start, then we had to stop.
I'm using it as an example. It's probably the worst. It's the one that's been knocked over the most number of times. We have to be sensible about what we commit to. I'd far rather under promise and over deliver. If we could do more when we can get more contractors and we can get more materials and we can get all this, but to keep doing what we're doing here, and in some cases some of these, as I say, projects have been year after year, it's not right. It's not a criticism.
But it hasn't been year after year. We've only just got the funding for that this year for half that project. Yes, it has been raised previously. I think there's a funding application put in when I first got here, but actually the committee asked for us to withdraw back to that time. And that's about nearly 8 years ago. And then we could have probably had the funding for that bridge at that time. The problem we've got now is actually the planning approval, the cost, everything was just about ready to go. Perhaps the works manager ought to be given an opportunity to actually identify what we've been actually having to contend with. One of the issues too is a lot of this money is grants money. I'm happy for us to say no. We are stretched in the hill. I'm happy for us to say no, we won't take these funds in the future, but there's such an opportunity for us to reduce the burden we're putting on our communities. And if it means we've got to put things out a bit longer, we do. I think I take on board what the council is suggesting there, that we do need to get better with regards to communicating where we're at with it, and try to get people to understand why these things are taking so long. We've had obviously the incident with regards to the childcare centre over there as well. That's blown out, right out. The Memorial Hall down the grounds down here, because we'll have to go back and redraw that and put that out again. But again, in saying that, we're not that far behind Launceston with the Albert Hall. They got money the same as we did back in 2018 or 19, is it? And I think they're still progressing their work on their side. These jobs do not happen quickly. We just need to get better at communicating that to the community so we don't create those expectations. We are putting together a bit of a promotion with regards to all the funds we've got from the federal government for the community infrastructure and roads as well, to try and show the community the amount of money we've got going in and where that money's being expended on projects, so people fully understand. Perhaps we'll try to get them to understand the amount of work we're doing at this time. I also have a simple answer. I think the works manager probably could explain about some of the issues we're having. I understand it's not a criticism. I just don't know what the answers are at this stage, because we just cannot find the workers or the contractors. And costs, I think we just recently went back to the PERT committee about the playground. What's the additional cost on that? 10-15%?
Going up, yes.
And that's going up on the 30th of June. And we got advice that a week ago.
And then we're going out to get three contractors to look at the job, put out about six, got two. They got a whole different idea. We had one week, end up committee ourselves, picked on one, and then the committee sort of pushed that back. But in that meantime, everything's gone up, it's gone past 30th of June, and it's going to cost council further to go out, the more it's going to cost. Now, we've got to talk about Hobby House Street. I think it's probably been on the books for maybe 4 or 5 years. Last year, we put out three contractors, got zero put in through. There's too much work around. The state put all the road works out, and they're all doing big work. There's more money in the big works than out of the jobs. Every time we look for extra staff to help out with Crescent Ford Department, can't get one. You might get one for 2 days, and then that's only a filling job, and then they're coming back. So our staff have taken it on, we're doing a good job. Now, three blokes up there trying to do a fair job on the pool. Everywhere we go, every time we put out something, no one's interested. It's just our jobs. They want the $10 million jobs, not the $300,000 jobs.
Councillor
Bennett. I guess what I think Councillor Davis is saying is, are we chewing off too much? Should we chew off a little bit less and be in a situation that we can take on what we've chewed off? And maybe with the prospect of interest rates increasing, certainly around the industries I work in, I can see a real slowdown in the amount of properties being built. We've seen here, we're down $20-odd million in approvals. So that's approvals going forward, not occurring today. And, there's an architect firm in Launceston with 8 employees. He doesn't know what to do with it. Now, that tells me they're the jobs not for today, but they're the jobs for next year. And a lot of people that I was talking to, a large builder in Launceston, and he's had about 6 or 7 people walk away from either new houses or renovated houses because simply they can't afford the cost and the delay with getting the products. Exactly what you said. And it's having an impact on consumers. Now, if that goes through, we could find the opposite, that there's a real chase for for work in the future. But I guess that's what Councillor Davis is saying. The way I read it is sometimes it looks like we've chewed off too much, and maybe we're chewing off a little bit less. I see Launceston's got and I don't think the finance department believed me until they looked it up, their capital works is $18 million. Now, I don't know how, I've got to look to see how much work they carried forward from last year and how much they're carrying forward for this year. And that might be interesting to look at what they're doing in those sort of scenarios. But certainly with the scarcity of workers and the high price a lot of contractors put on themselves just to miss out on the job, if they get it, well, then they know they've got a windfall. And the scarcity of product is a nightmare. So I think we're just probably taking too much on.
It's typical because I know at the last state election there's a number of councils about mentioning they actually probably didn't go out their way to look for opportunities.
Mm.
We do. We chase every opportunity. Yeah. And, when recently, back in January, we had Catherine King and Brian over there offer up $8 million for the main streets. We're going to say no. You know, we've already started all the work for that. We don't know when the money's coming in. We're trying to finalise the design work for Perth. We will enter the design work into the first planning application for the first stage in Campbelltown. Now, the $35 million, what do we do there? We've got $5 million to do all the planning for an intermodal facility. It's going to take a lot of work and that to make that happen. But then on top of that, they said it stacks up, here's $30 million to get the infrastructure put in. That will go nowhere near to what that's actually going to cost. But do we say no? The opportunities are there just so great for our area. I'll be honest, we don't have enough staff, but we need to keep moving forward, I believe, and try to get as much done as we can. I believe it comes back to us, we need to communicate better in our community and not create expectations as suggested.
Yeah.
Because we are creating those, definitely.
Yeah, look, this is a common problem. We have a situation where we were spending $55 million in Hobart area on Taffy Schoolhead expansion, and that's blown out enormously. Same Aloysius is well behind. We're now putting temporary accommodation in, supposed to open in 2023, so no hope of opening by then, the extensions. But with all this money that's coming in, and we should remember that the general manager and the staff have been extraordinary at getting grants from federal and Liberal, Labor, the whole lot. And that money, when we get it, if we get it in advance, that's helping our bank accounts, and it earns us interest, and interest rates going up. So at the end of the day, if we get $8 million, and if you can't finish the whole project, you can only spend, you know, half of it done, well, you're earning interest on the running money while you've got it in there. So, you know, at the end of the day, what are we complaining about? Because we've had more money come in to this small municipality in the last 8 years than we had prior to that for a long time, and I think the staff's done excellent, and I don't think if you can't get it all done, you best have the money in the bank and the interest in the meantime.
Councillor Adams.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I think you've got to keep going forward, and you've got to keep trying to have the programs develop, and then we don't control grant programs, we don't control what the other teams of government do. And we have to seek those funds when we can. And we have needs, plenty of needs. Now, there is a shortage of labour in Australia. There's a shortage of skilled labour. And because we've destroyed TAFE, and we have to build that back. And instead of just going out and buying people from overseas, I believe there's a lot of people to skill up in Australia. Contractors are scarce. The works manager said they'll choose to their advantage, of course, but also the shortage of wood, steel and other matters which have also increased enormously. But we've got to be positive about strategic thinking, and if strategic thinking comes together in programs and in opportunity, then you need to take that opportunity. Communications, telling people where we're at and why we're behind with the work program is a communication issue. That's what that is. And we need to communicate that in a positive way that we'll get there.
Thank you. I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. 11.2, the municipal budget.
Okay, so the 2022-23 budgeted operating revenue is $30.6 million and budgeted operating expenditure $21.9 million, which results in an operating surplus of $8.7 million. But after eliminating capital grant revenue, which we're just talking about, it's a very small underlying surplus of $9,470. In the budget, we've included a $19.7 million capital works budget, which does include those carry forwards from the last month. In that, there's a $7.3 million road program, there's a $1 million footpath program, the bridges, which includes the finishing off of the footbridge at Perth that Councillor Davis was talking about, is $477,000. Stormwater program is $441,000. Community buildings, $2.1 million. The building construction No, community buildings improvements is 2.1 million. Major building construction like the Perth Childcare Centre and the War Memorial Hall, those bigger projects, 8.2 million. Recreation ground programs, 1.1 million. Fleet replacement program, 571,000. And then small plant and equipment, we've got a little under $500,000. Now, to do that, we're recommending that the rates are increased by 4.5%. That's the general rate. The fire levy we will have to increase by 6.2, but that's because that's what the state government levy, what the state government are asking to pay their levy. We're also suggesting, due to the new levy, waste levy, state waste levy, which you may have read in the Country Courier last time as well, there's a story there, and other increasing costs, that the each curbside collection service goes up $20. There's the main new initiatives this year are lifetime dog registration tags, so you'll get a little metal tag this time. You keep the tag forever, so you get your favourite number. And they're only replaced if a dog, if it's lost or something like that. So there's no posting out of those tags every year. And of course the FOGO, which is Urban Organic and Garden Organic Curbside Collection Service, we hope to be able to start that in January, February next year, depending on the contractor and whether they can get trucks. Included this year is a once-off gain for property sales, which is the little cottage in Norfolk Street. So we hope to get a profit of $160,000 there. And obviously the interest rates, which have increased in the last month, and because we are holding so much cash of these grants and whatever, there's a little bit of a windfall there, and we're basing that on 2.7%.
I'm happy to move the 21-22 budget and all the attachments again. 22-23, so I'm in the wrong date here. Well, that one as well. However, again, the general rate, I would like to amend that somewhat, not dramatically, minor, to 3.75. I think that most neighbouring councils around us are in that vicinity of 3.5, 3.75, and so I'd like to see us in sync. There's a number of savings I've found through there, including the increase in the interest, where I think originally it was 1%, now looking at 2.6%. But I think there's further savings and no need to go into those. I just think the council staff can find those.
I'll second that.
And the only thing I've read through extensively, the only thing I can't find is the amended dog and fees and hall fees and those sort of things, what we did with those in the end, whether I've lost the page or...
Yeah, there's a fees and charges schedule.
Ridiculous. So what was the amendment to that in the end?
The dogs was 4.5%. All fees and charges have gone up 4.5%.
Including halls?
Including halls, yes.
And well, burials?
Where we manage them.
And yes. Burials?
Yes, the same.
Okay.
I checked a number of them and I couldn't see a consistent 4.5% across some of the rental charges. Some of those are...
Oh, the only things that haven't been adjusted are the things that are managed by committees, and we allow them to adjust the fees for those managed facilities, which, like the Perth Community Centre and the Cressy Town Hall. Yep,
those. So the caravan parks and the units.
They're under contract, so they're reviewed on a 5-yearly basis or through whatever
there's
the contract
is.
So
there's
no CPI increase? Yes, the CPI increases. But it's based on CPI, not on our increases for our fees and charges.
Still can't see. Anyway, I'm not going to go through a nitpick. I would agree with Councillor Benin that
you know, the amount of difference between a 3.75 and a 4.5% increase is not huge, and there is plenty of opportunity within the budget as it's presented to cut those expenditures or increase those incomes to adjust to cover that rate adjustment.
And just further, I asked about the fees, etc. I'd just like to see a note on there that. Sorry?
I'm just objecting to you. You've spoken, you've moved on.
I haven't finished, I'm sorry. Oh, due respect.
Well, I spoke over.
She said, and she spoke over, and I spoke back with her. Anyway, there were a couple of things that I would like to see, and that is midterm, just a review of our. Different charges, just to compare like for like. So if someone's renting the Evandale Hall or, I don't know, a hall at Lilydale that's a similar quality, etc., that one's not twice as dear as the other. Either way, to make sure that we're not underpricing ourselves or overpricing ourselves in that sort of situation. And the same with the cemeteries. I know there are variances there. And the same with the dog charges as well, that there is some uniformity amongst our rating and that of neighbouring councils. And also, I've asked a few times whether we could have the fleet reviewed and looked at, whether we're getting best use out of the units we're purchasing, that we're buying the best that ticks all the boxes. Sometimes now it's just availability, and whether there's other plant that we should have that we haven't got. So just a review covering those sort of things mid-term before next year's budget is done.
Thank you, Mayor. We've had lots of discussion, lots of workshops in relation to this. I support the 4.5%. I see the Clarence Council has gone 4.7%. Some other councils have larger increases than what is proposed here. Constantly reducing what is recommended is going to reduce our down what we can deliver. I am conscious of the previous debate, which is a lead into this motion, and I don't believe that it's in the right direction at all. There'll always be the Conservative who wants to bring down the rates constantly, never increase anything, and constantly drive it down so that your services deteriorate over a period of time. I don't think we should be letting our services to the ratepayers deteriorate. I think we should be keeping them as we are. We've whittled down from the original processes that we had in our workshops, and I won't be supporting this motion. I'll support the original recommendation.
Can I
have
further discussion? I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Aye.
Against?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. So, Councillor Adams, Councillor Goss, myself. Councillor Brooks, are you for or against this motion? Sorry, I didn't look.
I'm for the motion.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, three against, it is carried. Right, move on to the next one.
Is for the motion?
Yeah. Yeah, 3.75.
That's
carried. Just in finishing up of that motion, just like to thank the finance team for the work they've done with the budget.
Yes.
Certainly we've asked for a lot of questions, a lot of detail there, and it's all been supplied, except for Ross Swimming Pool. We'll see that at some later date.
Just with the recommendation, I'll just have to adjust those.
I've seen that. Yeah.
Just those. Rates in the dollar.
From one
slightly.
A and B, C.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, 11.3 is policy review of donations.
Recommendation
is. Councillor Goss, one second. The current federal government are changing the chaplaincy service program. I'm not sure whether the name has changed as well, but they are now opening that up to you can choose between a religious chaplain or a professionally qualified wellbeing worker. So I'd just like, if that name has changed, could that be reflected in the policy?
Councillor Davis. Quite a number of comments about this. One is the distinction between a policy and the application of the policy. To me, the things that we allocate the donations policy to are the application rather than the policy itself. And I particularly make that point because I am absolutely and utterly opposed to us making donations for charity, for chaplaincies in schools, for a number of reasons, not least the fact that even the federal government's moved away from it. I'm not so much interested in the wording of the policy is the one thing, but how it's applied is the secondary thing, and I can't vote for anything that's got a chaplaincy in it. I'm happy with the wording of the policy, but not the application thereof.
Any further discussion? I'll put the
recommendation.
All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Councillor Davis is against. Thought. Motion carried.
Works report. Hudson
prescribed
parking.
I'll second it. Give an amendment that if we look at parking meters, we would start
with
the
limit. Sorry, you moved and seconded it? Moved it.
It's moved by Councillor Gosh, seconded by Councillor Dinnan.
Thank you.
Just any discussion? I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. Thank you.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you.